What is going on, everybody? This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Yours truly, Eddie Gritta III, here in the building for the special edition of the podcast. I am recording this today. Love this recording right before race weekend for the Daytona Road Course. This episode will come out either Monday or Tuesday. It's not been set just yet. So just want to give y'all a heads up about that. So we will know the winners of the Daytona Road Course when this podcast comes out. Eddie Gritta III. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. The latest in the world of NASCAR. Camry World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. The three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And here on this edition here, just right before the start of the truck race, we are going to be talking about Rev Racing. And I have developed a relationship with them building a relationship with them for the last couple years and having a variety of drivers on this podcast. Obviously, I talked about in a previous episode about diversity and the way that it's continuing to grow. Well, this program, Driver Diversity, has been in it for quite some time now, and I'm very fortunate to develop friends through this relationship as well. So it's been very fun to have drivers from the last 2 years on this podcast. You're going to hear from a returnee on the podcast for the third straight year. You're going to hear from her here in just a little bit. But yeah, absolutely. Rev Racing, in the beginning of the month, announced a class for this year, which includes Nick Sanchez, who we had on the podcast, Raja Carruth, Isabella Robusto, I will speak to here at the bottom of the hour, LeVar Scott, and Regina Servant, our Rev Racing veterans coming back. And we have not had, of course, LeVar Scott and Regina on here just yet. Obviously, they're two new names onto that list there for Rev Racing this year as well. And then some of the a couple of drivers to look out for this year, including Justin Campbell, Andres Perez, and let me check that again, Andres Perez de Lara and Jaden Reyna, who are new to the class this year. I hope I will be speaking with them at some point during the year on this podcast. So that's a jam-packed line, obviously, and we've had Gracie Trotter on here as well as several others on here as well. If you would like to check those interviews out, it's in the archives of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. If you're looking for content, you want to go back and listen to it, then do that as well. We got a lot of content on there as well. So please go check it out. Tell your friends. And a lot more. I did a couple more off-season interviews as well, right before the season started as well. So very excited to kick it off with Isabella, who's been on the show 2 straight years, and we're going to make it a third here tonight on the podcast as well. Can't wait to catch up with her and see what she's been up to. And she's been a busy girl over the past last year, doing some big things for Rev Racing as well. And Nick Sanchez, a veteran of this Rev Racing series, is back again, obviously. Bubba Wallace came through this class, obviously. I said this before on the podcast. Kyle Larson was a part of this as well. Cel Suarez as well. So a lot of good talent has come out of here for Rev Racing. And it looks like they have another strong lineup here this year, obviously, as we're already in the 1 week of the NASCAR season. Nick Sanchez, 19-year-old, Miami, Florida. He placed best finish of 4th last year in the ARCA Menards Series. He debuted, obviously, last year in that series as well. And he finished 3rd in the ARCA Menards Series as well last year. Raja Carruth made big headlines last year. This got overlooked a little bit as well. 18 years old. He'll be competing in the ARCA Menards Series East. He's from D.C., obviously, another African-American in the sport as well. And Carruth, he finished 6th in the points in the Charlotte Summer Shootout, racing in the semi-pro division as well. He won a race also last year. Isabella was obviously 16 years old, and she's coming back again for another year. I will speak to her momentarily here in a little bit. And LeVar Scott, African American, in the series, he secured 2 point finishes in the 1/5 mile trophy dash at Charlotte Motor Speedway in a Legends car, and he won back-to-back races in a 600 Michael Sprint as well. So there's a lot of new things, folks, you can learn from these young cats out here who are trying to make a name for themselves. And it's wonderful. Again, it's very wonderful to see each of these individuals doing what they're doing on the racetrack. Not only that, and off the track as well. Regina Servant, she's a part of the NASCAR Advanced Auto Pro Weekly Series as well. And she is from Mexico. And she has competed in the, let me see if I got this right on my notes here, FBY Bone Michael Truck Mexico Series as well. And she's won in that series twice. Regina is 17 years old, and her best finish is third at the Charlotte Summer Shootout with 3 top fives and 5 top tens. Justin Campbell, another African-American, 15 years old, from my neck of the woods. They're from the state of Georgia, but he's from Griffin, Georgia. Earned a top 10 finish last year in the standings from the Thursday Night Thunder Series in Atlanta. And you got to go back a couple years ago in 2018, where he competed in the Bandoleros with 2 top 10 finishes, and including a win. So Justin has that winning culture already installed in him as well. And Andres Perez de Lara, he's competing in the U.S. Legend Car Series as well. And he's also from Mexico City as well. He's competing in the Formula 4, and he's won 4 races in that series as well. He's a 15-year-old as well. And Andres, he is the 2020 youngest winner in that series, the Latin America Formula 4 as well. And then you got to go to Jaden Reyna, who's also in the Legend Car Series as well. He's earned 2 wins, I'm going to call it 2 wins, at Lincoln Speedway in the Young Lion Division. He's 14 years old from Canisius, North Carolina. Also had 10 wins. We're just going to call it that. It says 10 first on here, but I'm going to scratch it to 10 wins. 1 second, 1 third. That's what we called around here, right, folks? 2020 Charlotte Summer Shootout in the Young Lion Division. He placed 3rd in that race right there. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Eddie Gritter III here. Special edition of the podcast, breaking down the Rev Racing Class of 2021. And here, shortly, we are going to have a returning 3EG3 alum, Isabella Robusto, back on the podcast here. We're going to check in and see what she's up to here. And she's getting started here early in 2021, racing-wise as well. We'll see what she's up to on the schooling aspect of things as well. So, very excited about this. Is just looking all up and down this list here. Very talented young copper drivers. Diversity young, with a few ladies in here, girls, and obviously you have your boys in there as well. So and obviously Max Siegel heads this program as well, which has obviously has found a couple really talented drivers as well. Like I just mentioned again, Daniel Suarez running the new team this year. One of the new teams this year, Trackhouse Racing with Justin Marks and Pitbull, Bubba Wallace, obviously the Fame 2311 Racing with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin, co-owners of that team, as well as Kyle Larson's return to the Cup Series, landing himself back in the Cup Series with Rick Hendrick in that 5 team. We'll see how Kyle continues to progress here as the 21 season gets moving here. As when this podcast comes out, we're going to be 2 races down and getting ready for Miami Homestead Speedway. Obviously, Miami Homestead Speedway has its own characteristics. So you have your speedway track, your road course, and your mile and a half track. And obviously, Homestead is your different beast of mile and a half. It's not your cookie cutter racetrack, right? So it's basically 4 turns, unlike a traditional mile and a half track where you have just 3 turns. It's 4 turns there, and That definitely has its uniqueness about it. You can run low, middle, high groove, and Kyle Larson knows how to get it done on the high side. And all them dirt races that he has won for the last, what, 6-8 months, something like that, will be put to the test for sure. But we can't count out Tyler Reddick and those guys, Denny Hamlin, the guys who run the top, the best, a Truex, something like that. So it's going to be interesting in the coming week how that plays out as well. But of course, we all going to know who won the Cup race when this podcast episode rolls out as well. But again, you know, it's been, I was a little, when I emailed the person that I has been talking to now for 3 years. I mean, you get these requests and whatnot, and they get the rush and say no, right? But this has really carried over into the third year of this program and being able to share some of these experiences with these young cats, boys and girls, has been wonderful experiences. I'm looking forward again to catching up with several of them, but knowing some of the new cats this year in the league. And then, obviously, Perry Petrino last year, you know, talked to him a little bit, and he landed a big legend. I want to say, dang, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he landed something huge in the offseason as well. So he's going to be doing that as well. And I mentioned Gracie Trotter earlier, in which I look forward to hopefully having her back on as well. She's been tremendous on this podcast as well. She sat on the front row in the for the Arca Menards debut race at Daytona, showing speed, and she's driving for what, Venturini Motorsports, if my memory states correctly there as well. She showed up huge in a way, learning some things a little bit here and there. And there's debate going on around here now. I've carried it on this podcast about, you know, hey, you know, no sleep on Gracie now. All the hype, and rightfully so. I'm not trying to take anything away from Haley Deegan and whatnot. She did okay in Daytona. I mean, this is a different beast out here. I'm definitely, all eyes are going to be on her. And hey, why should? But don't sleep on some of these other young girls who are trying to make a name for themselves too. So all the attention is on I'm one of those guys that I like to sneak up on people like that. I've always been like that. I'm not this rah-rah type of guy, you know, going out, showing out, and whatnot, and everything else like that. But I'm one of those guys, I can sneak up on you. Don't go sleep on me. And that particularly reigns in the fact of running, you know, running big races. I show up for them. So I can't wait to get back for April for the marathon. I just want to race, man. I just want to race. I have a big goal I want to achieve this year. So that's that right there. So I'm one of those type of cats that I want to stick up people. I don't want you talking about me 24/7. What? And I don't like the attention. You know, things like that. You know, hey, I want to lay low and take care of my business. Bring my lunch pail. Take care of business when I need to. Clock in, and when it's time to punch out. Do the best of my ability, and that's what we're seeing with some of these. Yeah, Gracie's done a tremendous job. Obviously, won Las Vegas. That was huge, and I felt, yes, it got a little bit of publicity on the NASCAR.com site, as like it should, like it did, but it did. I don't think, you know, I might be biased because I know some of these drivers a little bit, but from getting known for the last couple of years, and you know, keeping progress with them on Twitter and get some updates here from here and there, but. But, you know, that got a little overlooked a little bit. I mean, a couple of people brought it up, and they brought it up on a podcast, some of the podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis, racing podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis. It got brought up a little bit here and there, but it didn't get brought up on some of the major platforms either. And, hey, I mean, you keep doing what you've been doing, Gracie, doing, and you've got a fan, that's for sure. I've become a fan of Gracie over the past couple of years, for sure. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what she's going to do in that 25 Venturini Motorsports ride here in 2021. I mean, she was fast. I mean, it's much of those cars. It's a lot of credit to the team because Speedway Racing is a different beast, and you have to prepare a tremendous handling Speedway race car, right? So, but hey, you're a driver. Your job is to go in there and give the best you can. That's what Gracie did, and she did a heck of a job putting that thing on the front row there. Unfortunately, you know, the finish didn't equal all that. But hey, you're there to learn. You're there to take some notes. You're there to learn things like that. So I'm very excited for what she is going to do in with Venturini this year as well. So looking forward to that as well, and looking forward to seeing how Rasha does this year as well. I mean, some of the things that he did last year, winning a race, that got overlooked a little bit as well too. So, I mean, yes, NASCAR, the 3 Series is top priority. The Cup Series is top priority, right? So, but some of these achievements that we're seeing with these young students, that they need to be noticed for sure. So definitely be excited to see what Rosh is going to do. That's why I'm getting to know the rest of the new class, like a Jaden, like an Andres, like a Justin Campbell, things like that, a Regina, a LaVar Scott. Yeah, those type of cast this year. So hopefully as the year goes on, when it's right, I'll have one of those guys on and gals on the podcast as well. So this episode dedicated to Red Racing on this edition of the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast. Finally, I'm able to have some time on the schedule to do this. 80 degree to third. As we wait Isabella to call in here in actually just a couple minutes now. So looking forward to catching with her here in the bottom of the hour. And of course, after I'll get chatting with Isabella, you will hear the closing music as usual. And don't forget, we will do a recap. And yes, it's gonna sound a little weird because it's gonna be out early in the week. So pardon me for that. But yep, stay tuned again for the post edition part 2 of the triple. What did I call it? The Florida Triple. Yeah, that's it. The Florida Triple Part 2. I'll be breaking down. I'll be talking about what took place there on the road course, obviously. And we know this set high headlines going into that race for sure. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, Chase is a heavy favorite there. Hey, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens there. Looking forward to that race as well. Homestead coming up here. Martin mentioned some of the drivers to look out for. Obviously, Larson's going to be chomping at the bit to get there. We'll see what he's got. This is where now, this is real racing now, like I would usually call it. I mean, plate racing, speedway racing is its own animal, and it's like a lottery ticket, right? So you just don't know what you're going to get there, and that's a perfect example. 2 weeks ago, Michael McDowell staying out of trouble there right up front, and then seeing the Penske duo, the 22 and the 2, take each other out pretty much, and McDowell cleans it up with a win, Daytona 500 champion as well. So I mean, this is where we're gonna see who's gonna be strong here for the next several weeks, and who's gonna have their work cut out for them here as we go about to head into March and so on here, as we're about to close that in on the Florida road trip here, if you will. Here a couple weeks in Daytona Beach, and the fellas, guys and gals, will head down to South Florida here this week to take on the Monahan Beast of Homestead, Miami. All right, folks, we're going to step aside here for a break here on the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast. And when we return on the other side of the break here, we should have Isabella on the podcast here back again. We'll catch up with her, see what she's up to, and preview her 2021 season here. Eddie Greer III, this is the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast with EG3. We're coming back after this.
You're listening to the 3-Wire podcast with EG3. We'll be right back.
This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer, the third, back in the building in Manhattan, Kansas. As we've, in the first half of the podcast, broke down the class of 2021 for Rev Racing this year. So that's that as well. So, all right, now, folks, what have you been waiting for? Returning back on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, driver of the number 55 Max Siegel Incorporated Chevy. She's a part of the Rev Racing, back again for 2021. None other than Isabella Robusto, back on the podcast once again. Isabella, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thank you for having me. Can't wait to come back and have another chat with you.
Yeah, sounds good. I've been excited to talk to you again. This is the third straight year that we've been able to talk, to chat, to catch up a little bit. So looking forward to our conversation this afternoon. So, but before we dive into what took place last year with you and the things that you have going on in your zip code, we have a few new listeners. So I'd like you to kind of summarize how you got to this position and how you got started in the Rev Racing.
Alright, so my dad put my twin brother and I into go-karts when we were about 5 years old. And ever since, I have fallen in love with racing, everything to do with it, from driving real fast to learning about like the small little parts of the cars that actually makes the cars work. Having my 5th year with Rev Racing this year. I'll be driving a late model with them for the 2nd year. So hopefully my expectations for this year are better than last year. Getting some more top 5s, top 3s, and hopefully get our first win with Rev Racing in the late model. And it's just been a long journey to get to this point since I've started. It's been pretty much a grind just to get better, get faster, and learn more about the car. So.
Does each year Isabella present its own challenges? I mean, starting from ground up, from the bottom, and then you're kind of working ways towards where you want to be. Does every year have its own challenges, especially you driving different cars?
Yeah, each year is definitely different. This year's been the craziest with COVID and all of that, but yeah. Every time I get into a new car, I just have to learn everything about it and just get better at it. So that's definitely a challenge every time I change the car. So this year will be easier. It's my 2nd year in late models. I know a good bit about it from last year with the help of Rev Racing and all of my good teammates that I had. So this year will hopefully be easier. And now that COVID might be winding down here, it looks like it is. Maybe we'll have a hard schedule that we can follow, and I can just prepare better and watch some more videos and films and just get myself mentally prepared for the races. But I don't know. I don't really know what the challenge will be this year. I bet we'll probably figure it out after my first few races. But last year, I would definitely say just COVID and not knowing when each race was going to be until like a week in advance. So there wasn't much time to prepare for everything last year.
Yeah, that's definitely the main story of last year, obviously, COVID and everything else, and especially from all different levels, they're dealing with that. And once everyone had the procedures of how to deal with it, you saw it in the Cup Series all the way down. People had a lot of the drivers and everyone else had a better grasp of doing that as well. Definitely, you didn't know what to expect from the COVID, and even in the early parts of this year, you're still dealing with it slightly, but everybody's projecting, you know, COVID could be, you know, hopefully it could be on its, what's the better way to put it, on its way out, and we can go back to somewhat of a, okay, here's what you got to do, and things like that. But definitely COVID threw a wrench and everything. But before I talk about more racing, what'd you do in the off season?
Well, I feel like we did a lot of racing, like, compared to what everybody else was able to do with their sports, and, we ended up getting, I think it was 18 or 19 races in last year, during COVID, so, over summer, especially, I was really focusing on helping all of the NASCAR youth drivers, so the ones that did legend cars. I just wanted to go out to the track and give them my opinion and try to help them. And I like doing that every Monday and Tuesday, just kind of like giving my advice. And then other than that, I really focused on track and field for school. I do competitive track and field.
Yeah.
So I worked pretty hard on just getting faster, stronger, and just critiquing my technique for high jump and long jump. So every summer, I kind of worked all summer on just critiquing everything from racing to track and field.
Isabella Robusto here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, back again with Rev Racing for a fifth season. Yeah, I want to stay with the track and field for a moment here. We've talked in the past about that. So how did everything go for you in the triple jump and high jump?
So last year we only got one scrimmage and one meet in before everything got shut down. But everything started back up about 2 weeks ago, and I'm better, stronger than I ever been. I'm already jumping and running faster times than I did last year, so I can't wait for the season to start. I'm really pumped about it, and I feel like just having the conditioning from track helps me with racing and just being physically prepared for when I'm out on track. And it's just fun because I don't know, I just love being competitive. There's something about it. Everything is a competition to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Having track and even during practice, I can go out and I'm like, I'm going to win practice. Like, I don't care. I'm going to win practice. And that just helps like with my mentality for when I get out to the racetracks. Like, I just think like, I'm going to win this. I'm going to do the best I can. So, wait for track to start, and yeah.
Yeah, I just got done saying kind of the same thing before you called. You know, having that same mentality, not only in practice, but in the races too as well. And I definitely have that same mentality as well, so I definitely can relate with that. Now, have you done any sprints, or you just focus more on the track side, not track, but the field side of things?
So I do the 400 meters. I guess it's not really a sprint.
That's right.
It kind of is. You mostly sprint the whole thing until the end when your legs kind of give out. But I do the 200 this year as well. They're putting me in the 200.
Ooh.
And for the first time, I'm going to be trying pole vaulting this year. We've only had a day of practice of that, but it's pretty fun. It's definitely a lot of technique, so
I imagine
I'm gonna get some more practice with that.
Yeah, I imagine that. Yeah, so yeah, 400. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember now talking about that with you on previous episodes of the podcast as well. Yeah, it's definitely not your traditional race. You gotta race hard pretty much until you can't feel your legs anymore. And 200 is just straight fast. So luckily for me, when I was in high school, I did track and field. I can't remember if I told you that or not, but yeah, so I'm still fast, but you know, I feel it kind of windering a little bit, so I'm using my speed in other areas now, such as longer distances now. So yeah, so that's where I'm at with that. So yeah, so okay, so now kind of switching gears back to NASCAR, obviously. You say you were kind of leading the way a little bit and helping out the younger kids learn the sport. And it seems to me that you've become quite a young ambassador for what you're doing. You're doing a lot of work for the NASCAR Foundation, and you recently went, and I've heard of this before now, you went over the edge and rappelled down to NASCAR headquarters. So how did that go for you?
So I am not the biggest fan of heights. I have never been the biggest fan of heights. I do like rock climb, but I feel like I can do that because there's like a mat that you can jump on. But rappelling over the edge and just like having to look down, like there's no way not to look down when you go down. That was definitely pretty terrifying. Also, it was very windy that day. Like, 20-plus mile-an-hour winds, which I don't think helped my fear at all. Like, I think it made it worse. But when I got to the bottom, it was definitely worth it. I personally love working with the NASCAR Foundation. They're so great, and I get to do all these crazy and fun adventures with them, from going over the judge to going and meeting different kids in children's hospitals. But I love helping my community, and definitely the younger side of our race team, of Rev Racing, from anything that I can help them with, like just getting better at media, or just helping them out on the track in the legend car. So I like to do my part and just help out my community and my teammates as much as I can.
Yeah, definitely having the wind, especially Kansas obviously has a lot of winds. Some days are windier than others. You still have your calm days out here in Kansas, but yeah, you definitely have your windy days. You definitely can feel the wind if you're driving a work van or a truck or whatnot. So that does not help, and I'm like you. I am not the best at heights either, so kudos to you for being so brave and doing that. So and obviously, Isabella, you won an award last year. You were the 2020 Young Racer of the Year award for the NASCAR Diversity Series there. How much did it mean to you to earn that award for what you're doing, not only what you talked about off the track with me, but on the track?
Yeah, it means a lot, just being able to be recognized, and I'm really humbled that the NASCAR Foundation and everyone at NASCAR just recognizes how much effort and work that I try to put in, both on the track and off of the track, and I feel like it just helps me stand out even more when I'm on the track. Like, I'm not just a good driver and I can drive fast and be competitive, but also that I take my time and make sure that I can do things outside of the racetrack to help others.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, I can't remember your crew chief's name from the last conversation that we've had, but let me ask you this. Do you have the same crew chief that you did last year?
Last year I had Glenn as my crew chief. This year we haven't really assigned any yet, because we don't start racing for another 2.5 weeks. So we're still trying to figure out like who's the best fit and all of that sorts of stuff.
Right.
But I bet whoever I have, I'll get along with them pretty well.
you definitely have that wanting to get to know the crew chief a little bit. You definitely can get along with the crew chief, and that pairing. I know we discussed it the last time. That pairing, that driver crew chief combo, it's very important in the garage area and then on the track as well. Giving that good feedback so you can go fast and be competitive out there. So. And then speaking of being competitive, obviously, you're doing pretty well in school, Isabella, right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you almost have a 4.0 grade average, is that right?
Yeah, I actually had my GPA meeting a few days ago. I think last I had, ours was off of a 5 point, and I had a 4.9.
Oh my, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. COVID's kind of helped with that. It just gives me some more time to study and just get more prepared than normal. So I think COVID and our, like, every other day at school schedule has helped with that. But I also make sure I focus really good on school as well with racing and other sports that I do.
Yeah, it definitely goes back to that work school type of balance there. You got to do well in school to do well whatever you're doing, and whether it's racing or doing track like we've talked about, and or doing other things as well. So you definitely know how to balance that, and definitely if there, I mean, yes, COVID had its negative things about it, but also it
help a few people as well. So definitely seeing you thrive and on the track and off the track, very, very excited for you. And did you play football? I don't think I've asked you this or not, but have you played football in high school? In your high school?
I did not do it in high school. I did it in middle school for 8th grade. I did it 1 year, and I did all the kicks from extra points, field goals, kickoffs, and then, like, punts. But as soon as we went into high school, I feel like over the summer I shrunk. But the guys just got way bigger. So I stopped doing it just because I don't know. They were a little big. I felt real small. Like, I'm not a small person. Like, I'm 5'10". And I felt like I was, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. They were just all so much bigger than me. So, I kind of, I guess, hung up my helmet, you would say, for football. But it definitely gave me a different experience that I don't think I'll ever have again. That was really fun.
Yeah, definitely you chose the right sport, I should say. football's definitely got it's a different era in football now, obviously, back then, but even now with guys bigger, it depends on what position that you're in. Either you're a linebacker, especially you see bigger offensive linemen now, defensive linemen. Yeah, it's the weight distribution is all over the place when it comes to football as well. So definitely You chose the right path for you there. So, yeah. So, Isabella Robusto here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 hanging out once again on the podcast. Okay, so you mentioned you start your season 2 weeks from now, if I'm not mistaken. So, what's your schedule looking like for this year?
So it's definitely more like of a hard schedule this year than it was last year. We pretty much have most of it planned out, which is helpful because I can plan ahead and watch film and just mentally prepare for it. So we start out at Hickory, which I did pretty well for our last race. I think I finished third on our last race at Hickory. So before the race or this upcoming weekend and next week, I'll start watching film again, hopefully hop on a simulator, just kind of get back into the rhythm of racing and just start counting the laps and getting better. I've definitely kept my physical fitness side up over summer and COVID, so I think I'm good on that part, but just getting mentally prepared to race. I'll start doing this week, and then I know we go to South Boston a few times and Tri-County, so we get to go visit some of the fun tracks that we did last year.
And where is Tri-County located?
That's a good question. I actually am not sure. I don't know. Let's see. It's, I think it's in South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, but...
I have to look that up myself for upcoming episodes.
Okay, it's in Hickory Nut Ridge in Hudson, North Carolina.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a fun track. I really liked it. It reminded me of some of the tracks that we used to race legend cars on. So I kind of got the hang of that one pretty fast.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, very nice. So, what would you say, looking at your schedule here in 21, or is going to be your tough race? I know I'm looking down the future, but...
Yeah, I would say... I'd say Greenville Pickens.
Now, that's a track I've heard of.
Because I just feel like the last race we had there, I didn't do very well. Some of it was me, and then also the car wasn't set up exactly how I would have wanted it to. So I don't really, and we only raced it one time, so I don't really have anything to, like, go back on and look and kind of, like, make my memory, you know, kind of come back on that track. So I think that'll be the hardest one just because I have the least amount of practice on it and time. But other than that, I don't know. I really like most of the tracks that we're going to this year. So hopefully it's going to be a good year for us.
Isabella Robusto here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, back for a fifth year, part of the Drive for Diversity program for Rev Racing, joins me once again. And okay, so you've mentioned him a couple times, your twin brother, Will. I don't think we've talked about him that much on a podcast. Maybe the last time, I can't remember. I did not go back and listen to our last conversation, but how's your relationship with your twin, Will?
I would describe it as any other relationship with, like, a sibling, you know?
Yeah.
You definitely have your ups, and then you also have your downs. but we get along pretty well, just, we work together on mostly everything, and, I miss having him at the racetracks just because I could, like, lean on him, and he could lean on me, and we could kind of, like, help each other out. Kind of like teammates, but we were like built-in teammates. So you had to always be nice to him, or you know, he can come back at you like you don't have him for a year or two at a time.
Right.
He stuck with me. But I miss having him at the tracks and just being able to race side by side with them. And other than that, I mean, we get along pretty well. I mean, we have our fights now and then, but it's normally over like the stupidest things, like who took the last cookie or something. It's definitely gonna be like something really random that we fight about, but then we forget about it like 10 minutes later. So definitely have a good relationship with him.
That's funny. That's and good at the same time. Yeah. I don't have an exact twin now. My younger brother, people have kind of related to us as twins, but we're not twins. We're a couple years apart, so I can definitely sort of relate to what you're going through. I have three brothers and two sisters. I'm the middle child in the family, so so I definitely have my share. But and what is this that I read on your bio here? That I read before I hopped on with you. We have not talked about this. Apparently, you're a giant shoe collector.
Yes, I don't know about 2.5 years ago now was when I started collecting shoes. They're definitely like the higher in like collectors' shoes, like Yeezys and Jordans and all of that.
Right,
but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just something about it. Like, people collect, like, some interesting things. So, shoes are definitely mine.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a fun thing that you got going on. Yeah, and it's kind of relating to that. I've told you I'm a runner, so I've, over the last couple short years that I've been running, I've started to collect a couple of pairs of shoes that I'm going to actually be giving away here in the middle of the year. So I can definitely relate now. I used to have a couple of pair of Air Jordans actually when I was younger. So I got into that a little bit when I was younger, but kind of gotten out of it. But since I've gotten back into running, I've kind of gotten back into the whole shoe debate. Crazy me, right? So it depends on, especially the type of races that I run, depends on different types of shoes. So I definitely have to pay attention to what I wear, or you know, you could mess up an ankle or something like that. So.
Yeah, what I always tell my my friends or whatever, they're always like, what are you going to wear tomorrow or whatever? I'm like, I have to figure out what the weather is and all that, because I base my whole outfit off my shoes. But most people do it off of like a shirt or something. I'm like, I got to pick my shoes first, and then I'll figure out what outfit I'm going to wear with it.
You see, yeah, I'm the exact opposite of you. I like to figure out the uniform, what I'm going to wear first before I put on the shoes. So, yeah, I have to figure all that out first. That's another thing I used to do when I was your age as well. You know, everything based off the shirt or nice shirt that you're wearing. So from the top of the, to the bottom. So you get you hey, you gotta look, you gotta represent. You gotta look good. So okay, all right. So just a few more minutes with Isabella Robusto here on the Three Wide NASCAR podcast. Once again, she's back again for another year with Rev Racing, and she's really driving the number 55 for Max Siegel Incorporated. So, did you have a chance to watch any of the action, NASCAR action from last weekend? Any of the action from Daytona 500 or anything?
I did. I watched the Daytona 500. There were some big crashes that happened there.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure were.
I mean, it is Daytona, so you can't have a race without some big crashes. So.
Exactly. Especially the one early in the race that took a lot of good cars out of that race. And waiting out that rain delay and then back to racing. So, and there was a lot of debate. Now, I've talked about this on the last episode that I recorded of the podcast, the times. Everyone did not like where this time got started, right? Especially with the weather in the area. You know, it's Daytona, whether it's the winter time, springtime, especially in the summertime, you get your weekly rain and things like that. A lot of folks want the early start times, and I know you're young, so what do you think about all that? And should they have started earlier, or do you have a preference on that, or what?
I don't know. I always like racing during the day. Ever since go-karts, when we got into it, you know, you got to be at the track at like 7 a.m. and you start racing, and you're racing by like 2 o'clock. But I've always personally like that, just because you get to race during the day, and I mean, you can just like see everyone better and all that type of stuff. So I like to watch the races that are during the day versus at night, but I feel like if you can see the weather like coming in, and you know that you're gonna have a rain delay at some point, that they should have started a little earlier.
You repeated just what I said on the last episode. Is actually, while we're recording this now, it's going to be up later on tonight. So, but yeah, that's exactly the words that I've said. I've said that a couple times on this very podcast about that. So, we'll see going forward how that works. But I've never asked you this. Was this your first watching the Daytona 500, or have you watched the Daytona 500 before?
Well, for the past, I'd say 3 or 4 years, we always go down in our RV and we like sit in the infield and watch from in there. So we watch it. I've watched it probably the last 10 years, but the last 3 or 4, we've gone and watched it. But this was the first one that we've kind of like sat at home and watched for the first time in a while, which was different because you didn't like really get the whole Daytona experience that we normally get.
Uh-huh.
But, it was definitely a late night, to say the least.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially when a track has lights. Yeah, it's going to be a long night, especially with the wrecks that we saw last weekend. The first one, and obviously waiting to the final corner to get the win right there. So, kind of on that note, right there. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, they're Penske teammates, and they're both apparently going for the win there. Brad makes a late move after a lot of single-file racing coming down towards the end. Nobody really made a move there towards the end. There, and you wait to the last minute there to go forward, and then not only that you take out your teammate, but you take out you get involved in a crash yourself, and neither of you don't win it. So what are kind of your opinions about the last lap there, not just from Daytona 500 from last weekend, but from any race?
Yeah, my mentality is like, if you're with a teammate, like work with them till like 2 or 3 to go, and then as soon as it's like, once it's white flag, I feel like it's a free for all. Like,
yeah,
just like if you have a chance to win, like take it. That's just right. what I think. So I think he did a good job, but like I said, it's Daytona, so you never really know with the draft and the lines of cars behind them didn't really help. But if I would have done the same thing. I mean, it's the Daytona 500, so right, you gotta go for it if you got a chance.
Yeah. So one, you might not be in the spot again because of the whole carnage thing. Yeah, like you said, it's what I said before. We've got on and hopped on for another conversation. It's a lottery pick, pretty much. You don't know what's gonna happen, and you gotta take a chance while you have it. And Brad Keselowski has not won a Daytona 500 in his 11 now 12 starts at Daytona, so it is what it is now. And apparently Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski have not talked to each other since then, but apparently they're gonna sit and discuss everything, and they should be all good to go there. But yeah, I read that story this morning about that, so I found that kind of interesting there. all right Isabella, before we let you go to enjoy the rest of your weekend, what are your goals for this year? You want to win? I know you mentioned at the top of the conversation that we've had today. What are your goals going into the 21? I know you want to win a race. So what are your other expectations for the new year coming up?
Yeah, well, top of the list is win a race, and hopefully more than one. I want to win one. I at least want to win one, but I'm going to go for as many as I can. I want to get more consistent, just like on finishes. Like, hopefully I'm going to get it down to like finishing top five consistently. I'll probably start out with consistent top sevens, eight, I'd say. I don't know, somewhere around there. And my main goal of what I want to like get better on and improve is definitely my restarts. They were not the greatest last year, so I'm going to work hard this year, especially on restarts and qualifying, because I wasn't the greatest in both of them last year, so I'm going to focus really hard on those and just hopefully keep getting some good finishes with them.
Very, very good. Very nice. Yeah, definitely. I've heard that song before, restarts. That's the key there to getting a win. That's huge right there. So that's good for you, Isabella, that you're going to be working on that and going for that elusive win of yours there. So that's big for you. All right, Isabella. All right, so tell everybody where they can find you at on social media.
Yeah, you can just find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all of them. Just Isabella Robusto, and then 55. On all my social medias, I normally get on there. I try to get on there as much as possible and keep everyone updated about upcoming races and fun events that I'm doing, or any work that I do at the NASCAR Foundation. So definitely come check me out, and yeah.
awesome stuff there. And what, here real quick, what grade are you in now?
I am in 10th grade, but I mostly do like the honors level classes and like the advanced classes. Ooh. But I'm in 10th grade right now.
Nice, very nice, man. You're doing everything. That's pretty impressive. I like that. Well, Isabella, folks, EG3 NASCAR podcast, EG3 Isabella Robusto, part of the Rev Racing class this year, once again back. She's going to be starting up her fifth year with the program here in a couple of weeks. There, she's going to be driving the number 55 Max Siegel Incorporated Chevrolet. Wow. So, all right, Isabella, it's been fun chatting with you once again. Good luck this year on the track and off the track. Continue your good success off the track as well. You're doing some good things right now for the sport, and good luck this season, and we should talk again soon.
Thank you. Yeah, this is fun. This is fun to catch up and let everyone know what I was doing.
We'll be right back.
Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.